discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
It all started with a simple question. What can I do to help children impacted by terrorism? The question Lenya Heitzig asked herself, glimpsing the scenes we've all seen on the news of children displaced, hungry, and grieving, the innocent victims of global terrorism. Now she says, the answer was far simpler than I expected. The answer I received was to love. Answering that call to love first drove Lenya to found Reload Love, providing educational supplies, playground equipment, food, drinking water, clothing, and so much more to children displaced by the violence of terrorism. Through multiple avenues, including their initial effort to sell jewelry made from spent bullet casings. Eventually, this one-of-a-kind mission took Heitzig to the far reaches of the world, the jungles of Burma, the war-torn streets of the Middle East, through the company she founded. Today, Lenya Heitzig, the author of Reload Love, Transforming Bullets to Beauty and Battlegrounds to Playgrounds, joins us on the road. Welcome to the show, Lenya. What an absolute treat to have you here today.
Oh, I'm so honored, and I'm really grateful for you and the ministry that you serve, because we want to make people aware, right? Sometimes we just don't know what's happening in the world, and the people that I've worked with in Iraq and in Jordan and in Burma, they're really trying to get the message out that people know what's happening around the world to Christians and to innocents. And so I'm so grateful that you give a voice to those people. So many of those that I meet from different tribal entities, whether it's the Karen in Burma or the Yazidis in Iraq or some of the Syrian refugees in Jordan, they all tell me, will you please tell people what's happening? Will you please tell Americans? And so thank you that you've given me a microphone, I hope a megaphone.
Oh, well, it's our blessing. It's our pleasure. And we're humbled to do it today. I think as we begin, if you could introduce us to who you were as the story opens, before you find this passion, what does life look like for you there in New Mexico?
Well, I tease. I said that God took a Malibu Barbie and turned her into G.I. Jane. And so I think that's one of the best turnaround phrases. But I actually am a pastor's wife and I'm 60, so I'm past the Malibu Barbie phase. I like to think I still am. I'll play with them. I have grandchildren. And so really a pastor's wife teaching women's Bible studies, you know, having people over for dinner, and just some of the common things, weddings and funerals. And I was just watching the news and it unsettled me. I was just so traumatized personally when Bashar Assad dropped sarin gas on the children of Syria. It wrecked me when in Sudan they were taking barrel bombs and rolling them out of planes and dropping them on Christian villages in the Nuba Mountains. I was devastated to hear about the Karen tribe in Burma that are largely Christian, that have been running for their lives for decades. And I guess the final straw was when ISIS broke through into Iran and started killing Yazidis and Christians and Kurds to the level that the UN called that a genocide. And so I guess I got tired of seeing the pain and just said, God, what can I do? You know, what is it? What could I do? And we all feel so distant. You know, a lot of times we turn the channel when things like this happen because we think there is nothing I can do. What's my point? I don't want to see the suffering. But I think God wants to take the suffering to open our eyes. And if we'll just look, our eyes are the gate to our hearts. And eventually God's going to give us a heart response, a love response. And I just believe we're all better together. And so that if we would all look at it and decide collectively, what can I do, we can sure do a lot. We wield a very powerful weapon, and the weapon is our heart.
You've said that you could not look away, but that's what we want to do, right? And you expressed that even there. We want to look away because we can't look at it for too long. It's too tragic. It's too sad. What was it, you know, you look back now and sort of analyze that God would not have us to look away. But in that moment, what was it that made you continue to look, would you say?
I'm sure it's the compassion of Jesus Christ. You know, he said, what we do to the least of these, we do to him. And, you know, in those end times, that's what he talks about. He says, you know, you came to prison and you visited me. You went to the hospital and you cared for me. I was poor and you comforted me. And these people say, Lord, when? When did we do these things? And he said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. I'm going to start crying. I already told you I'm a crier. And you know what? We're supposed to be looking for that. And I think we have become a little calloused. And so we don't really want to see it. But Jesus said, when you see it, you see me. And so I couldn't help but see Jesus on Mount Sinjar, or see Jesus in Raqqa, Syria, or see Jesus in the deserts as thousands, hundreds of thousands of refugees were fleeing for their lives.
Wow, that's a very powerful way to express it. If you're just tuning in, Lenya Heitzig is with us today, the author of Reload Love, Transforming Bullets to Beauty and Battlegrounds to Playgrounds. It's a very evocative title by itself. We'll get into exactly what's going on here and exactly the incredible ministry that Lenya has founded. So you know at this point you want to do something, and mm-hmm. you communicate that really to God, but you're not sure what to do, understandably. How yeah. do you begin to discover the idea, the first steps of discovering what Reload Love could really become?
Well, Reload Love is a term of redemption. It's taking something that's been spent and used, and who knows how it's been used, and it's repurposing, it's upcycling it to something beautiful. And I think that God takes every bit of our personalities and our pasts, and he uses them in an unexpected way. So my major in college was fashion merchandising, and I love a good product. And so I think when I asked God this question, immediately I kind of pictured a really beautiful brass bracelet. And I went, gosh, I wonder if you could take spent bullet casings, turn them into a beautiful expression of jewelry, and then help babies, help children impacted by terror. And really, the triple thought came at once, jewelry from bullets for babies. And so literally, I ran to my computer, and I researched how hard is it to find spent bullet casings. I'm not a sportsman. My husband and my son are. And they're shooters at a range, but that's not my world. I've shot a gun since then, and that was in the jungles of Burma when someone gave me an opportunity at target practice. But so it's not like that was my world, but what I found out is most people don't use spent bullets. Of course, the Army doesn't. You have to have precision. Our civil servants, police and sheriffs, they would never use those as either, and they really can't sell them, because what if our spent bullet casings were reloaded by the drug cartel or something like that? So most bullets in those forms have to be mutilated and then repurposed. So I found out, wow, there are oodles of these out there. They're in buckets and pails and pallets. And so I realized that they were quite easy to obtain. And so I literally called a friend of mine who was the security detail for the mayor and had a connection with the police. And the next thing you know, my friends and I and homeschooling children were collecting bullets out of a firing range like Easter eggs on Sunday.
You know, before we get into the purpose and how you fulfill it of Reload Love, I was really interested, considering your story, to ask you this question, because I think we've all faced it down before when looking at some of the most tragic things that we see in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
This problem is so huge. It is so massive. You alluded to this before. How can anything that I do make any sort of a difference? Did you confront that yourself?
Yeah, and it did feel overwhelming. You know, as I started researching, because honestly, I didn't know all the statistics of terrorism, where it was happening. You know, the UN doesn't even define terror. And so when Syria has 2 million children that are refugees, get that number down, 2 million. The UN calls that a lost generation. Syria has lost its future teachers, its future firemen, its future doctors, its future nurses. We're talking evacuated from that country are 2 million children. That's a loss of a generation. So yes, when you start talking about that, that's just Syria. The need is huge, but doesn't that mean the response should should be greater. You know, there's a passage that says when the enemy comes in like the flood, the Lord will raise a standard of righteousness. I serve a God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask or think.
Amen.
So if you have a big God, you believe a big God can do big things, even if it's with loaves and fishes.
Maybe taking a step back and giving us an overview of whether it's domestically, what you do with the jewelry, whether it's internationally, what would you say are those threefold purposes of Reload Love? And on a daily basis, how do you seek to fulfill it? Very big question, obviously.
Wow. The three, again, redemption. That God can redeem anything. I am a redeemed individual. That, you know, I was lost. I was a bartender and a discotheque. I was experimenting with drugs. I smoked marijuana on a regular basis, and I was an atheist. And
wow.
God redeemed me, and he took a bartender and turned her into a Bible teacher. I mean, there's some irony there, right?
I love it.
Such a wasted life. So God is always in the business of redemption. So we're constantly redeeming, you know, spent bullet casings, redeeming children from difficult situations. You know, we like to say we put playgrounds where there were battlegrounds. We're redeeming areas that have seen bloodshed that children can play on. So it's a strong ministry of redemption, for sure. And then the idea that these bullets go into a crucible, that God knows how to take the pain in our life, the fire in our life, the difficulty in our life, and he will melt us down, take off the dross, and then he will make it into something beautiful. So God turns up the heat sometimes, but when he turns up the heat, it's a prime time for opportunity. And so we've found the places when people are suffering, they're so open to the gospel. They're so open to you sharing and coming in and coming alongside in their suffering. And that's why I say we need to see. Because when we see people in pain, it's a prime opportunity for God, isn't it? And so I guess there's the redemption, there's the crucible, and then finally, it's just the love. We believe that love is stronger than hate. And it's as simple as that. God's love is the answer to terrorism.
Oh, that is beautifully said. It's firing stuff here today on the road from Lenya Heitzig, the author of Reload Love. Okay, so take us inside this. In the intro, we describe you in the jungles of Burma and taking your journeys around the Middle East. How does this progress from making jewelry out of the bullet casings to going into the war-torn countries themselves?
Right. Well, I have access with my husband. He serves on the board with Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse. And, you know, he's a behemoth, what God does through him. But I was really hyper-focusing on kids impacted by terror. And so I started asking around, where was terror happening? What was the definition? And the Lord led me to Burma. And honestly, politicizing, you know, just the thought of gun control in the United States, working with bullets is controversial, right? Trying to work with terrorism when you can't define it is controversial,
sure,
of
sure.
course. And then trying to find a place. I really thought the Lord would put us in the Middle East, and it would be a conflict that is really charged politically as well. You know, it goes all the way back to Crusaders and to the Ottoman Empire. And if you touch that stone, it goes back for generations. So I had a feeling that's what the Lord would do, but he put me way off trajectory and introduced me to Burma. And for 65 years, the Burmese, and this is Myanmar, the Burmese tribal culture has been having terrorist impact on all the other tribal peoples, the Shan, the Wa, the Naga, the Karen, the Karin, the Karini. There's been a 65-year conflict. And God did something really interesting. The first missionary from the United States, Eva, was Adoniram Judson. And he married a woman, and within months, they were on a ship overseas, and they thought they would minister in India. But when they got there, they couldn't get access to the country. So they said, "What next, God?" And they sent them to Burma. So this is the first missionary from the United States goes to Burma. And intrinsic in one of the tribes, the Karin, they have this folklore that that there were sons of a father that were the father of Burma. And the sons were of different origins, and there was one son that was light-skinned, and he wanted to live by the golden book. And the other sons did not, so this son departed. And when he departed, the nation degenerated, and it was not prospering, and it was not blessed. So in the DNA of the Karen, they were waiting for this light-skinned brother to come back with the golden book, knowing that this would be the answer to prosperity and blessing. Who shows up on their shores? Adoniram Judson with the Bible, the only golden book I know. And so he has incredible sway with the Karen people.
Wow.
And so the Karen people are highly percentage Christian. And so wouldn't you know that the Burmese would foment their anger and their hostility toward this Karen tribe? As a matter of fact, when George W. Bush was in the White House, his wife, Laura, had a huge initiative to try and help the refugees because they would literally burn, rape, and pillage through the villages of the Karen. And they would come over the border into Thailand, and there are so many refugees who are victims of that. That's where God sent me. He said, let's go to Burma. And honestly, I didn't know where Burma was. I had to look it up on a map.
Of course.
And so God sent me somewhere I never dreamed I would go. And honestly, it's one of the hardest places in the world to get to. We had to take a boat across the river and hike for 2.5 days to get into the tribe that I'm telling you about, that have this beautiful history that God knew where they were. God knows them by name. I'd never heard of them, but that's where he directed us for our very first venture into helping kids impacted by terror.
My goodness. You have said that this is a heart-to-heart transfer. That's how change happens. It's in the human heart. That is a very profound thing. Could you explore that just a bit more?
Yeah, I believe love is contagious. And, you know, I'm sitting across my friend, and it's, you know, one of her mottos, in the end, love. You know, that love is the question and the answer. It's the motivating force. And it's Abraham Lincoln appealing to the better angels of our nature.
Yes.
As we were talking about George H. Bush, who passed away, the 1,000 points of light, mm-hmm. that, you know, God said that do your good works so that they'll glorify your Father in heaven. When we love other people, we are so shiny and so sparkly and so attractive, and we attract others to God. And so that's why I say when we bring our 1,000 points of light together, we are super shiny. So I was hoping to do something that would raise awareness. Obviously, the jewelry does that. If you wear it, you're aware of what's happening. We're helping you to see. But then also you join the lovement. You join this group of other people who are willing to march together and try and collectively make a difference. And together we can. So one necklace doesn't build a playground, but you sell a whole bunch of them and you get other people to donate. And before you know it, you're able to transform a situation. And so really, we have these playgrounds in, you know, Mosul, where ISIS had the last stand on top of Mount Sinjar. Mount
Wow.
Sinjar, if you remember, it's one of the first areas where ISIS hit. They were killing Yazidis. They would go from house to house, and they would separate men from women. The men, we found out later, the fighting-age men, were taken out and killed in mass graves. The young women were taken and sold into sex slavery to service ISIS. The young, old, and infirmed were told to go up the mountain. Sinjar is a city, a region, and a mountain. So you had hundreds of, or maybe tens of thousands of people on top of Mount Sinjar in the summer in over 100 degrees weather, no food, no water, no access down the mountain because ISIS surrounded it. So the United States and UN started trying to helicopter in food and water. And as they were helicoptering in, mothers were trying to put their babies on the helicopters. We have playgrounds on top of Mount Sinjar. So we made it our personal quest that, Lord, these touch points where evil happened, love conquers all.
How can people help you? This is just an incredible thing you're doing. How can people come alongside you? Where do you need the help, and how can we learn more?
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, obviously, we're trying to get you to see. So please go to reloadlove.com, and we have stories and pictures and maps that tell you where we're doing the work, where the playgrounds are, where we have invested. And so if you would just see, just be brave enough to look and have the eyes of Christ, because when he looked on the people, he looked on them as a shepherd, and he saw a sheep that had no shepherd. And so just see with God's eyes of compassion. Just ask him to do that. Go ahead and look. And then the second thing is, of course, pray. Because when we pray these audacious prayers, you know, here am I, Lord, send me. You know, Lord, what do you want from me? What can I do? He's going to answer it. And two of the things that I know God loves the most are orphans and widows. Because in James it says, pure and undefiled religion is this, that you care for orphans and widows. So when you are praying a prayer that God wants you to pray, he's probably going to answer it. So see, ask, and then finally join. Whether you buy a piece of jewelry and tell your friends, whether you volunteer. We have volunteers that help us make jewelry. We have men who come in and donate bullets. So you can obviously give in those different ways, but also you can donate. You know, it takes about $15,000 to put in a playground, which isn't very much. We have an initiative that's on this week that we have found an organization that makes really nutrient-dense food for refugees from Sudan that are in Uganda. For $54, you can go on our website and it will feed a child for a year. And I asked them, I said, are you sure $54? And they say, well, they give them to them in their school at lunchtime or during their like VBS classes when it's not school time. And I said, yeah, but that can't be enough for three meals a day. And she said, they don't get three meals a day. They eat one meal a day. That's what they get there. So your listeners could give $54 and feed a kid for a year that is in a refugee camp in Uganda, where we've put a playground. So there are so many things. You could, if you got a lot of money, build a playground. Send it to us. We'll make sure it goes up. If you want to, but get food or wear jewelry, any of those things. So look, pray, and give.
Man, that's just absolutely tremendous. And we'll circle back to the website one more time. You are uniquely placed to answer this question, though, I think. What advice would you give to somebody like you who has a dream, something that they feel like God is nudging them toward, but isn't really sure where to begin, where to start?
You know, my life's verse is Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. And it's, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto him, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And that is such a fluid conversation. Is delight yourself in the Lord means I'm doing the things that delight him. I'm in his word. I'm in fellowship. I am a worshiper. I am a loving person. I do the things that bring God delight. And when I'm doing that, he's going to put desires in my heart that are his desires. He's not a genie in a bottle where I'm going, can I have a new car? But he's going to start changing my heart and having me have compassion. And who knows what the desire might be, but he'll pop one in there, I guarantee. And then when you have that desire, then you commit it to him. Okay, God, I'm delighting in you. I feel this desire. I'm committing it to you. What do you want me to do about that? Should I go to school? Do I need an education? What is my next step? Do I have to call somebody? Is there a contact? You know, what can I do my next step? Commit it to him. And you're going to find he's going to start opening doors, because that's what he does. And he'll also close doors to keep you headed in the right direction. But he's going to start moving you along that pathway. And then you have to trust him, because you may have to do some risk-involved things. You might have to actually get off your couch and do something you've never done before. You're going to have to trust in him. And you'll have to make these faith steps. And it may be way out there on a limb, someplace you've never gone before, but that's where the good fruit is, way out there on that limb, on the top branches, the dense fruit. So when you trust also in him, and then he's going to bring it to pass. All this relationship that you've been developing with him that's a back and forth, you know what? He wants to do things in your life more than you want to. He's invested in you. He's known you from your mother's womb. He is intrinsically invested in your life, the experiences that you have, and he has a job that is specific just to you. But you kind of need to start that delighting and then listening, you know, that he gives you the desire, and then you commit it to him, trust him, and he'll bring it to pass.
Wow. There it is. What a way to end it. Lenya Heitzig, the author of Reload Love, Transforming Bullets to Beauty, Battlegrounds to Playgrounds. What a treat to talk with you today, Lenya. I've been so blessed by the conversation, and I have every confidence that you listening at home have been blessed as well. First of all, thank you so much for being here. It was a blessing to have you.
Oh, my honor. Thank you so much.
And then just one more time, the website to learn more about Reload Love, and then to pick up a copy of the book as well.
Oh, that's right. ReloadLove.com. You can read the book as well. So book, jewelry, donation.
Amazing. Bless you. Thank you so much for your time. What a story.
God bless you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.